Begin reading with me in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and then we'll read down to verse 8. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, so you notice the difference. They is not ye. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now we know that when you read Ephesians chapter 6, there's the whole armor of God, and the breastplate there is righteousness, and the helmet there is salvation. And that's warfare with principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. But here the breastplate is faith and love, and the helmet is the hope of salvation. And so it's a little bit different because here the protection is against darkness as children of light. You see, we who are of the day are children of light and children by salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He comes at the rapture, we're out of here. When this light that we have is gone, it's going to be totally dark. We right now are providing, according to Ephesians chapter 5, some light in this world. You're seeing it with people getting saved here and on boats and in various parts of the world, right? You see that. So there's light here now, but when the day comes to the end and the rapture is here, they who are of the night are going to be scrambling around, and they'll be deceived, and they'll be given strong delusion, and at some point there'll be this statement, peace and safety. That's when the travail starts, and it's going to be horrible, but you're not in darkness. And that day won't overtake you as a thief. For the Lord will enter that darkness as a thief in the night at His second coming. All right, so we have been saved out of the darkness that is here. And we've been brought into light. You already know the passages, but look at them again with me. Acts chapter 26, Paul is giving his testimony, what he's doing. After his life changed, when he got saved, okay, and in his testimony, he's explaining what he's doing in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from what? Darkness unto light, or darkness to light. So when people here in the earth are not saved, they are in darkness. And when they get saved, they are in light. They are turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, and so forth. Peter, when he wrote, he said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Watch it that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Right? All right, so the truth of the matter is, though, you can't visibly see the marvelous light. I mean, as you notice with artificial light in the nighttime, the moon, the stars, and the sun shining in the daytime, it's hard for people that are here that are not saved to realize that they're in darkness. Okay? It's not evident to them that they're in darkness until a child of the day comes and begins to preach the gospel, the light of the glorious gospel, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, that they begin to realize, wait a minute, I'm in darkness here, and there is light. Jesus Christ is light. There's light in the gospel. There's light in the Word of God. There's light in you as a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at some point, there are people that get saved. They begin to see. Then, hey, I was in darkness and now I'm in light. And that's what's happened to all of us here that are saved. But look, here's the problem. The darkness wants you back. The darkness, in a way, calls you back. Because now there's a difference. You're of the day, you're of the light, they're of the darkness, they're of the night. And anytime, many of us have this testimony that there are people that you knew when you came out of darkness, they don't like it. They don't like it. You got to hook up like here with a different group of people who are in the light, and then you like that, and the people in the darkness don't like the fact that you're in light. And of course, you don't like the fact that they're in darkness, and you're wanting to do something about it. So the problem that I'm seeing, and you see too, as we get closer to the time that Jesus will come to take his children of light out, it's getting easier and easier for children of the light to go back into the darkness. You notice that? There are a lot of Christians today that are in darkness, and except for a testimony which sometimes can even be hard to believe, you wouldn't even know that they are Christians. They're more comfortable in darkness than they are in light. You know, many of us here tonight have been saved long enough, we're not comfortable in darkness at all. At all. Don't like it. We don't like the dark. We loved it before we got saved. We don't like it now. But the darkness is calling. And so you and I need protection. And the protection we need is found in verse 8. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. And these are the two things that God has given us, or the three things, if you will, the two bits of armor, the breastplate and the helmet, but the three things, faith and love and hope, to keep us from going back into the dark. All right, when you're first saved, speaking of faith, you had enough faith, all right, to believe the gospel. But may I tell you something? That's not enough faith to walk away from the darkness. Of the earth, okay? If a person, after getting saved, does not get in this Bible or does not get into a good local church, that darkness, excuse me, that darkness is going to prevail. I'm talking about, excuse me, I got to drink this water. I think one of the almonds I ate earlier, I found a piece of it has found its way into the vocal cords. Not good. Water's pretty good. Anybody want some water? I got 5 more bottles up here. Bobby, I think I could reach you. Really? Oh, that's a dare. Hey, Will, help me out with this. Oh, I need to go a little higher. That hit the chair right in front of you. That was really that was a throw to a guy trying to steal second. I kind of right on the, or I had it right on the plate in front of him. Pardon me. All right. That would clear it, wouldn't it? Okay, where were we? All right. So you got enough faith to get saved, but you're going to have to grow in faith. You have to go to the, you have to go toward the light that you are in to get away from the darkness. And you can just see how this goes if you imagine the dawning of the day, for instance. And I love the dawning of the day. I love to get up when it's still dark outside, begin to read my Bible, and then watch as light just begins to illuminate a few things. And then that's about where you are when you get saved. And then the sun rises and more things are illuminated. And if there's a beautiful sunrise that has color in it, you can see the things that are being illuminated with the gold and glow of the light, or sometimes that pink glow of the light, and then it gets brighter and brighter, and then after that it's 105. All right, it takes more faith before Jesus comes to keep believing. I want you to keep your finger where you are, because we need that text. But look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1, because Peter writes about the very thing that we're talking in his first epistle as well. So 1 Peter chapter 1, keep both texts, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1 Peter chapter 1, and notice in verse 7, all right, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory, watch it, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So both texts contemplate the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in verse 7, our faith is being tried. And then he says in verse 8, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So there, you have not seen him, and yet you believe, according to verse 8. That causes joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then in the end, you receive, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So the salvation that we have has not completed its work in our lives. There's a sanctification process whereby we are going closer and closer to the image of Jesus Christ. And as his return, then we have the full salvation of our souls, and we are then in the image, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, right? So faith is something that must continue to grow, and the trial of our faith is what facilitates that growth. Okay, and that's how the light, it's like a rheostat, a dimmer. It gets brighter and brighter and brighter, and faith needs to do that, or the darkness is going to call it back. There are so many cases of this today. I was praying for a fella. I texted him the other day. He texted me last night and he said, you won't believe, I was somewhere I was not supposed to be. He doesn't live here, he's in another city. I was somewhere where I was not supposed to be, getting ready to do something I was not supposed to be doing when your text came in. And he said, that blew me away, and I decided I better not do that thing and I better leave that place. And he said, I did. But you know, he's teetering on a very dim light. I've known him for years. He's been saved for years. But he just won't. And what does it is faith. You know where faith comes from? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I'm telling you, you've got to walk in the faith of these words. Somebody says, what does that mean? You read the Bible tells you something, and you do what the Bible says. And you watch as it grows. You know what happens? And many of us have this testimony. There are things you read about in the Bible you could not believe better than you believe now, and probably would have been believed less had you seen them yourself than you do by believing what God said. But we have young people that have been in this church, that went through teen classes and other things, who, if you talk to them today, they don't even believe anything about this book anymore. You say, well, they couldn't have gotten saved. Could have. The trouble is, if they are not sober in the daytime, that's they're going to look like the darkness from which they came. Faith is the breastplate that keep you from going back into darkness. Not only that, but love. He says again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. Do you love Jesus Christ? You ever seen him? People fall in love today with things they see. Their Corvette, their gun, their fishing boat, their, let's see, what else do y'all have? No. their jewelry, their house, their job. There actually are some people that love their job. Their kids, you know. There are a lot of things here in the world to love, right? Yeah. And I didn't name anything there that was bad. And you know that because they'll say, do you ever watch sports? Oh, yeah, man, I love baseball. And without even realizing that they said that, what they just said. Because they love to watch it, right? But, okay, you can't see Jesus Christ, and so that makes it a little bit more difficult for him to love. But you know something? If you put effort into loving Jesus Christ, right? You begin to love somebody you cannot feel, you cannot touch or see. But you know him, and he's very real. Because you see, you're in light now. You see things that people who are in darkness cannot see. And that starts giving you it's what draws you. It's what draws you to him. And I've learned something, and so have you. The more you love him, the less you love yourself. That's a good thing. The more you love him, the less you love the world. That's a really good thing. And the more you love him, the less you love the pleasures of this world. Because there are pleasures forevermore. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You start finding pleasure in your fellowship with him, and the world has nothing to compare. Nothing. You're singing songs to him, you're praising him, you're praying, you're talking to him, you're driving down the road, you see people and they have an earbud in here and they're talking, or they're talking on their Bluetooth, you're talking to the Lord. And they're like, who are you talking to? You'd never understand. But it's because you love him. So the breastplate is that I'm not going to be neutral in my faith. I'm going to, among other things, read this Bible so this faith grows, where I'm walking in the light of his words and not in the darkness of this world. And my love for him is drawing me to him and away from the things that I would otherwise have loved in the world. And then finally, hope, he says, the hope of, in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the helmet, the hope of salvation. Back there in 1 Peter chapter 1, notice this. Verse 13. Wherefore, because the whole context is about Jesus coming and you receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And then he says, wherefore, in verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, same thing Paul said, and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So see that? There was a former, right, lust. There was a former darkness. Now we've turned around. We're going in another direction. And we're going to hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, the longer we wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more hopeless people are becoming in the darkness. Remember the letter from China? That fellow that got saved had no hope. And the youth are saying, that's it, we're lying down, we're not going to do the 996, we're just giving up. No hope. You talk to a lot of young people today and they'll tell you, eternal life, what's that worth? Death is the end. And there's nothing else to live for, except for now. Teenage suicide is at its highest. And the reason? Hopelessness. Hopelessness. You see, you may not remember this, but Paul said that at that time you were without Christ. Before you and I got saved, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Listen, having no hope and without God in the world. Kids without God in the world and without Christ have no hope. No hope. They're hopeless. We, on the other hand, when we get saved, we do have hope. But as you get closer to the time of our departure and the time of His return, it gets easier to give up on His hope. That's why He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? So you turn to the light and continue to hope to the end for that grace that comes at the revelation of Jesus Christ. They always say, you get close to the end of a race, that's when people begin to faint in their mind, and that's the time when you need to kick it. Any of you that were in athletics, kick it at the end and push with every little bit of whatever you got left. Will you do that with faith? More. Love? More. And hope? More. More. And the darkness doesn't draw you away. My prayer is that anybody here tonight, it won't be a casualty to darkness by this time next year. But we've got, you used to look around and say, well, that could never happen to me. It could happen to any of us. That's why there's a breastplate. That's why there's a helmet. And so we can't assume that it won't be. We put effort into more faith, more love, right? More hope as we get closer to His return. And that will be protection from the darkness calling you back. Father, we're thankful tonight for the opportunity to be encouraged in the words of God by the things we've seen in the Scripture. Help us, dear Lord, to be faithful to what You've shown us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. All right. I have some prayer requests written down, and then we'll take some more. You know, Lynn, is William's last name Petrie? Okay. So William Petrie, who has been sitting here generally on Sunday morning,